You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 138. And today, I want to take you to a whole new level. Let's discover what the real role of a CEO for a successful company is. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hey there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's your host, Melanie Benson, profit amplifier to expertpreneurs and service businesses. Today, I want to explore with you what it means to be the CEO of your company. And let's just put it out there that it's a wildly successful company. Like, let's go six figures, multiple six figures, seven figures, even eight figures. And I'll share a little bit about what the five truths are and two lies. So we're going to play five truths and a lie, but we're going to look at what you can aspire to, what you can maybe even start stepping into right now that will radically move the needle on your financial success and the opportunities that come into your business. Before we jump in, though, I want to thank everybody who voted for us in the People's Choice Award. The voting is still open, and if you have not yet had a chance to vote and you have been loving the Amplify Your Success podcast and you get a lot of value out of it, would you be so kind as to pop over and vote today? Voting basically means that you're going to help more people just like me and you find out about this great podcast, and it'll help me achieve one of my big visions too. So the People's Choice Award is found at podcastawards.com. And when you go to podcastawards.com, and you can also find this in the show notes, you'll be taken to the voting page, and you do have to register. Sorry about that, but it will let you vote in the business category for Amplify Your Success Podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate it so much. It means the world to me, everybody who has been sharing. And be sure to pop into the Amplify Your Success community and let me know that you voted, or you can send us an email at info@melaniebenson.com. And my team is standing by to send you a very nice thank you gift. Okay, so let's get into today's episode. Here's the two myths and five truths about becoming the CEO of your business. And I wanted to have a little fun with this because sometimes people think, oh, why would I want to be the CEO? Then I'm going to have to lose all of the cool stuff I do in my business, all the stuff I really wanted to do in the first place. And I think if you've ever read the book, The E-Myth, which if you haven't, I highly recommend it. It's one of the best business books to recalibrate your mindset and really create a paradigm of success if you want to grow your business, okay? If you really want to make a bigger difference, you want to get beyond that first couple hundred thousand dollars in business, you're going to love what is covered in this book. So that's by Michael Gerber. It's called The E-Myth, if you have not read it yet. If you have read it, but you haven't read it in a while, I'd recommend you reread it. Here's why. I think sometimes we, as business owners and entrepreneurs, we get so attached to the reason we started our business, we forget that we have to evolve what our role is in our business in order to truly make impact, in order to have significance, in order to move the needle financially over and over and over again. And if that's not your goal, I want you to listen to today's episode just from the place of, could I improve one of these areas in my business and see a difference in the number of people I impact? So let's start with two myths. Myth number one is, I have to stop doing what I'm passionate about to be the CEO of my business. So I have coached hundreds of people over the years on how to grow a successful high six, seven, or even eight figure business. And one of the big shifts everybody has to make is they have to let go of the belief that they can't do what they're passionate about. Look, as a CEO, you get to define ultimately what you do as CEO. And truthfully, if you don't like the idea that you're going to lead your business to the next level, you can hire a CEO, you can hire an operations person, you can hire a what's called a online business manager to do a lot of the nitty gritty nuts and bolts operational stuff that maybe burns you out to free you up to do more of the things you love. But when I get into the five truths, you may realize that some of the things you love most are actually the cornerstones of the CEO skills. So break down that one in your mind. Don't let yourself get caught up in, I'm going to lose the thing I love most if I step more into the role as CEO. The second myth I want to break down is the idea that you can't be you and be CEO. So I think sometimes people don't identify as a leader. They start their business because they have a lot of passion for this particular craft or this particular thing they've learned how to do. They have this widget or this product or something that they want to sell in the marketplace, and they just want to do that, right? And they might even get that they have to get good at marketing and sales, but the idea of leading others is intimidating. I remember having this interesting conversation with somebody who truly was a great leader about being a leader. And he's like, nah, I don't want to be a leader. I'm like, dude, you're already a leader. You already are the CEO of this business. If you identified with it, you might do it better. And this is a really important part. When you try to reject the role of being CEO, and let's just say, if you're not familiar with that term, CEO basically means chief executive officer. I like to call it the chief entrepreneurial officer. Let's have fun with it, right? Like, because you are an entrepreneur and you never want to lose the edge that that gives you in business. But if you reject that, then what happens is there are some things that have to be done well as your business continues to grow and evolve, that you will actually become a bottleneck. You will shrink and hold back the growth potential of your business, the profit potential of your business, because you're rejecting being good at your role. So whether you associate with it and you decide to master it, or you hire someone like an operations person or an online business manager to do the things that you know you're never going to be good at, really get that if you step fully into this role of CEO, that what that means is you're stepping into amplifying your business at the greatest level possible. Okay. That's really what I want you to imagine. It's like you're going to stop being the bottleneck in the growth and the greater potential of what your business could do and really master the growth potential. Now, let's get into the five truths. I'm going to cover them pretty quickly, because these could be an entire course, and they actually are. This is part of the things that we do in my high-level mastermind. And that is, you have to clearly identify what you will do as a CEO. And the number one thing you must do is identify and communicate the vision. Now, this could be a little intimidating if you've just been kind of living day to day and it's like, well, what's the next thing I'm going to do? Your business has never really made a lot of money. And you're thinking, well, Melanie, like, I don't even know what I want to do next month, let alone next year. Well, this might be the one place to up-level right now, to really step your game up to the next notch. You would want to start getting clear on a 90-day vision, a one-year vision, a five-year vision. Look, we're all different, and I don't like the idea that I have to put on you, you have to have a 5 or 10 year vision. I don't even know what I want my business to be in 5 or 10 years, but I know who I want to be at every stage of my business. And I know I want to continue to grow and amplify the impact that my message and my work has for entrepreneurs who are tired of feeling overwhelmed and busy all the time growing their business. And if I don't communicate that with my team, if I don't communicate that with my clients, if I don't communicate that through my marketing mediums, then I'm not doing a good job in my role as the chief entrepreneurial officer. Now, what does it mean to hold the vision? So here's what I see happen a lot, is people will say they want to go somewhere. Like, they'll have an idea of something they want to become. And if you've ever done the Own Your Bold Challenge, you know, like, they set this big, bold goal for the growth of their business. And then They don't hold the vision, so they make decisions on a day-to-day basis that have nothing to do with the big vision. And so what that means is they're chasing bright, shiny objects, they're chasing the next dollar, they're chasing the next idea instead of holding the vision and then, we'll talk about this in a minute, planning their way to success. Hold and communicate the vision. If you've got a team, that means when your vision evolves and you evolve, you have to have a structure for how you continue to share the vision with the people who are helping you achieve the vision. So I work with a lot of business leaders in different capacities who have really big visions, but they don't communicate well. And what happens is that they're in their own head having these changes and these ideas and the evolution of their vision. And maybe they'll talk to one or two key people, but they haven't yet mastered the art of communication systems in their business or organization. So somewhere between the first person they've shared it with and the rest of the team, they've forgotten to communicate. And so the rest of the team is lost all the time going, why are we doing this? How does this fit in? And what happens is the team starts to break down and they lose their commitment and their inspiration to help you achieve the vision. So these two elements have to come together, holding the vision and communicating the vision. And again, if you're not good at this, I highly recommend you hire a coach like myself or someone who's really good at helping you become more of the CEO role in the business so you can master those skills. All right, so that's number one. And I think number two is perfectly suited to go with it. And that is part of becoming the CEO means you have to be good at strategic planning, or you have to hire people on your team that can take your vision and create the plan around it. And these are perfectly acceptable ways as CEOs to know where your limitations are. So I recently put my entire mastermind through the StrengthsFinder process so they could really better understand their strengths and know how to deepen their role as CEO in order to build better teams around them. And it was very illuminating because a lot of my people are in the softer skills. You know, they love the making a difference and the connection and the people side of it, but maybe not so much the strategic tactical pieces. So we work on three things together as a team and then, of course, hire out when necessary. And by the way, you can use my Profit Explosion Toolkit to do exactly what I'm going to talk about right here. That is, know what cash flow is coming in, know what cash flow has to go out, and know how your marketing needs to go to meet your revenue goals. So strategic planning at the bare minimum means you know what steps to take to achieve the vision. If you're playing really big, sometimes you may not know all the pieces. So you can bring your focus back down to the tactical levels of what cash flow has to go out, what cash flow can I count on coming in, where's the gap, and how can I use my marketing to fill that gap? It sounds simple, I know, but ultimately, I work with a lot of people at different levels who they're like, well, I need to have some cash flow next week. I'm like, oh my God. So, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to demean anybody. It's just, I talk about this a lot. And if you're not doing this, please commit right now in this moment to building up the muscle of planning out 90 days to 6 months in advance, minimum, what your projections are and what marketing do you need to do to deliver the revenue you desire. So if you move beyond that urgent cash flow all the time, you'll find that there's a much greater cash flow and consistent cash flow that you can count on. Now, those are the three basics. And then of course, when you have a bold vision, you need to start breaking it down into what are the steps you're going to take. Even if the steps you take next are, I need to hire someone to help me make a plan, or I need to learn how to do this thing that I want, or I need to hire someone that can do it for me. Sometimes the plan is just the very next step so that you can actually get clear what the rest of the steps are. Little known fact, I do a lot of strategic planning. Even if you're not in a one-on-one coaching with me, you're not in our mastermind, you can actually book what's called a Profit Amplifier plan with me, planning session, and I'll help you map it out. if you're not good at it, this might be the very thing you need to really start getting some trajectory in your revenue. Okay, so CEO skill number one, hold and communicate the vision. Number two, start designing a strategic plan with revenue projections, your costs, your marketing, and step-by-step what you need to do to achieve those that vision and those bigger goals. Let's get into some fun stuff with number three. Your next skill that I really want you to master is what I call center of influence nurturing. So this is where a lot of people kind of miss the boat. They get so immersed always in delivering the product or marketing the product that they forget that as CEO, you should be raising your attention to developing and nurturing relationship with centers of influence in your industry. And here's why. Because this is where high-level opportunities come from. I can't tell you how many opportunities that were game changers for me came because I nurtured center of influence relationships. So, for instance, I can't say what it is, but I've been put in for a really, really, really big name event to be on a high profile panel. It came because of my nurturing of relationships. When I wanted to speak in Australia back in 2008, I started telling my centers of influence what I wanted to do. Within 6 months, I had an invitation to speak across Australia at different events. I can name 100,000 of these times when what I wanted, what I was ready for the next level, I had a door open because I nurtured relationships. Now, one of the questions I often get is, Melanie, how much time should I invest in this? I could say easily 20% of your time and financial bandwidth should be invested into nurturing centers of influence. This could be your coach, you know, by joining a high-level mastermind or a powerful coaching group where there's lots of other influencers and you want to get more connected with someone like myself or other coaches that you relate to. This is a great way to do that. Going to live events, going to association events, going to networking meetings if that's where your centers of influence are. But get really clear. You can even do this on social media. I've mentioned Amplifier Success. We have tons of influencers in that group. And getting really purposeful and intentional about being seen and developing relationships with people. Don't be passive, be active and be very intentional about it. Okay, so that's number three. Your job is to nurture and build relationships with other movers and shakers. Number four is promote your company. You are the figurehead of your company. And so you should be the person and or behind the brand of your company. And the more your business grows beyond the first six figures into multiple six figures, seven figures, and even eight figures, this will change. So you may be the figurehead by doing the key interviews on Oprah or CNN, right? And maybe you're not necessarily, you know, doing all the day-to-day marketing activity anymore, but you will still be the figurehead that people want to see who's behind it. Think of brands like Starbucks and Google or Amazon, right? Like you identify with the person who's the CEO and the founder of the company. And oftentimes, especially at the younger years, you're in your first 200,000, 300,000, being the figurehead means that you're actively showing up and engaging in promotions that move the needle forward on your business. You're active in designing the promotional strategies and not just outsourcing and disconnecting from it. I can tell you a couple of really sad stories. One in particular I'm thinking of is I was working with a really wonderful person in Ireland for a while. And this man had let go of his day-to-day promotional connection. Like he was not the figurehead anymore. He was letting other people in the company be the figurehead of those promotions. And he lost the thread. Like the company started to diminish in its profitability and its results. And he couldn't figure out why. And when we started peeling away the onion layer, we realized like his team was actually doing things that he didn't believe in and he knew wouldn't work, but he had lost that kind of figurehead role of the promotions. And so, yes, at certain levels, like Oprah doesn't pay attention to every single thing that goes out. There's lots of CEOs that you know, at eight figures and beyond that aren't going to be in the day-to-day, but you still want to have your finger on the pulse and have a way to know what your company is about. Okay, be connected. So let's talk about the last skill I want you to develop, and that is developing a team. Now, this will evolve. If you're in the high seven, eight figures, this can be like reallocated to someone who's more in the HR side of things. So once the business really starts to scale at those higher levels financially, you can handle a lot of this off. But in your first seven figures, and in even into your first 10 million, you really want to be the leader of this effort. And that is, what are the resources my company needs to achieve the vision and execute the strategic plan? You are the golden thread between the vision, the plan, and the resources, aka the team, needed to pull it off. And if you abdicate that, you may over-resource yourself or under-resource yourself, and you also will not have your pulse on the single most important element of growth, and that is the people who are there to help you grow. So I highly recommend that you start to tap into, am I under-resourced? Am I over-resourced? That rarely happens, by the way. Most people are under-resourced for the vision I've set for my company. Do I have enough people to take the load off of me so I can do the things that only I can do? Do I have enough people that can be the implementers of fast growth, if that's where you're at? Most high achievers are trying to achieve fast growth, but bottlenecking their approach because they have not enough people to get it done. So they're constantly frustrated that their team isn't going to do more. I knew a woman one time who had about a $3 million company, and she would set these crazy unrealistic goals to achieve more in 3 months than they did the rest of the year, and then wonder why the key people on her team kept quitting. It's because she was demanding too much and she was under-resourced to pull off fast accelerated growth. And so you want to have the right amount of people. And that could mean you have contractors if you've got busy times and you have key people who you keep year round for consistency. You do not have to keep a full expensive team year round if you have cyclical efforts and initiatives that don't happen throughout the year. But dig into it. Really understand, what do I need to achieve my goals? And if you're financially challenged to pull that off, ask yourself, what would I be willing to invest now to achieve these goals that will eventually deliver the revenue and the results we're looking for, right? You have to kind of shift your perspective a little bit. And you might want to refer back to my podcast episode, which I will link up in the show notes, on how to afford the growth you need. I would go deep into the mindset and the strategy to pull off really big financial leaps when you don't believe you have the money there. So these are my five truths and the two myths. And I know I'm hitting the high notes here. There are a lot more things you have to do when you really step fully into CEO skills, but I want to just kind of prime the pump here and challenge you, because whether you're making $50,000 a year or you're making $500,000 or you're making $5 million or $5 billion, you have to do these five things, and they must be done in your business. Even if it's not you, you still have to hold your finger on the pulse and make sure that your brand and the authenticity of who you are as a company and the values that are important to you are executing through your business. So I'm super curious to hear what you think about today's episode. You can rate and review it on iTunes. By the way, I do track who rates and reviews. And when we get one of those really nice reviews and you actually put your name, I'll feature you in our social media because I want to spread that love around, but also give you a little love back. And you can also pop into amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com over in the group And we'll be creating some conversation about today's episode. And I want to hear from you.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at AmplifyYourSuccessPodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at AmplifyYourSuccessCommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.